Gene Anderson, who has an office here in this building with Alcoholics Anonymous.
One of the famous food talkers.
One of the famous food talkers. Mr. Anderson, were you one of the first 29, or did you come later?
That was during the World War II. We study our communication there.
Well, you studied it in the Philippines?
Yeah. And it was written on here at the was hoping to hit the Okinawa. From there, we was, some of the boys was in the Marines, some was in the infantry, some was in the Air Force. Of course, I was transferred to Air Force for a coat talkers in the different squad.
Oh, you changed to the Air Force for your coat talkers.
And they always have a bomb command. And then in the fighting squad, we go without the mission. We call the missions in Navajo. Where does it go? That's a mission.
Yes.
We use different that description for our culture. Like the horse's eyes, like the horse's ears, like the horse's tail, and the horse's foot. And we changed to our shoes, and we changed to our belt, and we changed to our ears, and our eyes. And then later, which they're not really understanding the autopsy, we changed to the skies. The skies, shop, we call it shop, skies. And then we call it to the earth, we call it abyss. That's a big word now. And we say communication means hapa musi sadi shin. That's communication. And then we change these different other words like missus. Misses, then we use as a young lady. We change word to really simple. It's hard to understand how they're going to be attacking on different islands or different division of fighters. We use all of these big words in our description of anything in order that the Japanese will not understand.
Did you work on radio did you have on telephones, lines?
We talk on the
walkie-talkie. Yes.
And we use in the planes, and we use all of the like the radio, they had it in the planes.
Yes, they had it in the planes. But when you were in the jungle and so forth, you used the walkie-talkie.
Yes.
Now you were on Okinawa. Is where, before you went into the air, I'm particularly interested.
First we went through our New Guineas. We didn't use our talkie.
You did not.
We hit the Lady Island. We didn't use a communication. But after we hit the Lady, we invaded the Philippine Islands.
Yes. And then did you use it in the Philippines?
Yes. Yes. We. That's where we start using. Mm-hmm. They bring out different fathers from the a different organization, different like the Marine, like infantry, like the combat engineers and those, and like different Air Force, all those neighborhoods, they came together. We went to school right there, we talked to each other. He stationed over there, he stationed over there, we were quite a ways from there, we talked to each other, and the captain, they really listened to us. We come close to English, but they always stop us right there. This is we took a test so quick,
yes.
And we know what to say. Any of these big words we use, like shoes, cap, like the treasure, like the ear, like the sis and the ear, like the shicha, like the shilla. Then we change to the horse description. He would kick, he would jot, he would gnaw, he would say it, he would taste. Then we change to sky, was not him. And that we use some of the bis, but if him. Can you understand it?
Not very well. I don't need to.
We get the idea.
Now, where did you know Philip Johnston?
We couldn't talk to each other who he is or who you are. He might say his English word, so don't ask him who he is or what his word is, but he just heard the sound from there. We can't talk to each other.
Yes. Yes.
No.
You see, he did his study in San Diego.
Oh, I see. Yes, you did.
Some of them studied in San Diego before they went, but you got yours in the Philippines.
Yes.
You see, now that's the difference.
Yeah. So you didn't study with Philip Johnston. No.
Yes. I was already known pretty well. The my own tradition, my own ceremonies, my own psychologies, and my own philosophies. And I know how to talk and know what to say. It is very secret.
In
talking.
Did you ever carry on any of your ceremonies, your traditional ceremonies,
yes.
in the combat area?
Yes.
What
yes.
did you do? Tell us about that. Before you went into battle, or just when?
I was carrying one of them, and the I was in the in Hallelujah. It's New Guinea, the end of the Tigris, before we had the invasion in the Lady Island, and we was all in the foxhole.
Yes.
We sitting there,
sleep
right there, sitting right here, I guess, and we both. With the sleep and all of them. And I hear the medicine man seeing him. And
medicine man was with you?
Medicine was seeing him. I hear him.
You heard him. While you were asleep.
I was asleep. I hear the medicine man seeing him. And at the same time, they have a scene over my clothes over here. And my grandmother's and my oldest sister was ceremony over my clothes over here because I can be safe there, protected by God.
Yes.
So there was asking the spirit to save me in the war. Now, and I hear them sing. You know how the a tradition says you act while they sing, you get up outside and four times. The some of good fresh air to put in your heart to make you stronger and strict against any enemies that they come through here, that you will won't be bothered.
Yes. Yeah. So you do it four times.
Yeah, he's doing it four times. Then I walked off. I know there was a really early light coming, and then the jungle, trees and stuff, I sticking out. You can see the picture real bright, like this light. Yes, it wasn't like that, but I was seeing it. I walk off, and here I walk. Not supposed to be walking on top of your foxhole. No. Somebody can shoot you, but
yes.
I don't see why they didn't see me. I walk up there, and I put up this, the medicine pilots at the, and I open up, and I present it to God.
Yes.
That I'm going to be a good, perfect man to be saved and to be strong against me, that thou shalt be returned to my relatives. And then I came back up without they know me, without I know myself, without came back in foxhole and sit down, and then I wake up.
I really did walk. But you were walking in a dream?
I really walked in a dream, in personally. Then I saw my track. But then
you saw your track, so you had been?
Yes.
And then you felt stronger and safer. Yeah.
No fears, not afraid. They killed the they killed 270 fighters at the Lady Invasion. They bombed us right there when we hit the beach.
And at which beach was that?
At Lady.
Lady,
in New Guinea. I have one white for a friend, and we know that we're going to be safer. Everything just blue and red and black all together, and it just shot us like that, and we fell into the, between these 2x12, they unloaded right at the invasion, right on the island, right at the boat. We threw ourselves in there, and here become of the traces, just like the rain. Well, after we got up, we look at those numbers, and just like been chewed up. And all these fellas been killed by the threat room, and the bomb, and some of the cover up in the foxhole. Bunch of them and safe. We all scattered out different other beaches. I was safe, two of us were safe right there.
The other was a Navajo too?
Yeah. No, the other was white boy. It was my friend.
Yeah.
And we were both safe, not even a scratch. Huh? Mm-hmm.
You remember the name of your friend?
No, I forgot.
Yeah. Now, did you feel that this ceremony that your family had back here, dream that you had really protected you?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I can
understand. Now, my grandfather was a great man. He said to educate yourself, but I'm not going to tell you because you're too young, you might spoil yourself because if you can find out what kind of a rattlesnake does have a poison. The rattlesnake has a poison. So you take this lesson. Don't go walking around in the weeds. Don't go walk around in a rock. This is the education you have to learn. And then you don't ever walk in the poison ivy. These are soreness. They're dangerous. Don't walk near the cliff because the devil puts you off. Either you're going to get the get to weep, I not blow it out. Either don't walk around with somebody been dead, don't move around their boom, don't want to bother their stuff that's been thrown away to the graveyard. Well, don't throw rock at the man, don't throw rock at the woman. The beating is beautiful. Learn that. Don't play cards because you can lose out a lot of your properties and don't do this. But they learn this thing, what soreness means. Soreness means is if you know through your tradition that soreness is going to protect you by God, because if you really understand your tradition, like these sickness is like the person, soreness like the person, any of these dangerous things like the person. You talk to them, you kind of present them something, your prayers, the stronger prayers, believe in Christ. Act like Christ does, do things like Christ does, and walk like Christ does, and you believe all these things. The tornadoes, you talk to tornadoes.
Then
you talk to these thunders. You talk to those thunders. Be act like thunders. Christ, but if you talk to them, they will protect you. If you talk to these big dragon, snake, or big that eaten a human being before, but you talk to these, and you talk to these others that they're really dangerous thing. But make life to you, but they gonna protect you. So this is in spiritual. This is in spiritual action, spiritual talking. This will give you a spiritual experience. This will give you a spiritual walking, spiritual doing, spiritual seeing. If any like the across the ocean people won't come and take this country, but from here we can talk to these dangerous killing things, and then we'll tell them, go attack this people coming, attacking us from across the ocean. And they talk to these sickness, or they talk to these others that dangers in front of us, and they will be start bothered then.
Mm-hmm. What division of the Marines did you belong to? Do you remember?
I was in the 5th Bomber Command.
5th Bomber.
Before that, when I go right through, we building the bridges across these islands, to the island, I was in the engineer division.
And were you in the Marines then?
Yes.
The Marines. Which division of the Marines?
Well, it was about 32nd. Mm-hmm.
32nd Battalion.
You don't know whether it was the 1st or 2nd or 3rd or 4th. There were 6 divisions. And then they had regiments.
Then they had battalions.
Well, the battalions.
We have been in Witten, but we was on engineering. Combat engineering.
They build
a bridge, and they laid out the across the, so they can move right across. So
mm-hmm.
We got those boats there.
Oh, yes,
right,
yes.
There.
Yes.
Two things. Yes. Yes.
Do you remember what year you went into the service?
I went in 1942, and I was discharged 1945.
Yeah.
Oh, you were in 3 years.
Yes.
3 years.
I'm pretty well experienced on it. I was in Kansas National Guard for 7 years when I was boarding school in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So I only took this half an hour. Corporal, and I went corporal, I went to sergeant, I went to staff sergeant, and I came back.
Mm-hmm. So you were staff sergeant then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm pretty well.
That was in the, now was that in the Marines or was that in the Navy? Staff sergeant?
Well, it's in the Air Force.
Air Force, you were a staff sergeant in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Air Force engineers.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the code talking, in of course, the thing I'm more interested in than anything else is the code talking, because that's what I'm writing about.
Yes. Now, it's not just a code talking. This is like the, with the, in the secret, we have to ask the spirit, we have to ask the whole world spirit. What made the world, what made everything? We ask him first before we can do it. Because
you ask the spirit before you could do it.
We could do it, but this is a real danger.
Yes.
We not just pick ourselves up and go ahead and
It's
a pretty dangerous.
Of course it's dangerous.
This United States of America will never be quit, never be attacked, and it's going to be never well. See, because that I talked to old Mexico women, they believe it. I talked to all these 38 tribes, they believe it. Because they had tradition. They never quit the United States of America.
Never quit us. Never beat us. That's right. We would always win. Now, let's see if there's anything. We want to see a couple of other people. And we thought maybe you could help us. We understand Eugene Crawford was a code talker.
Yes.
Eugene Crawford and Frank Thompson. And now they work in the same place.
Yeah,
don't they?
Eugene Crawford knows me. I went to school with him at Tucson University.
Yes.
And I know him. He's a very nice one. You can ask for him down the Eugene Crawford. I think it's down there in the motor pool.
Yes, that's what that's what I understood.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we could call from here, or would you? Are you busy? Would you go down
with us? Yes, I'm busy. Yes.
All right. You're busy, so we'll. But we'll go on down.
You go out here this American Station. Go back out the way.
Yes, I remember that.
And then you'll turn to that.
Turn to the left.
And then the you can see the. Don't want to be stole, don't want to be just the golden music in a place like that. This is in the spiritual.
You know, I haven't thought about that's an angle, Wilson, we have not gotten from any of them.
No.
Very, very interesting. You're a very religious people.
Now, this is top. All tops the hippies. Hippies, they think they know something, but I talk with him, but he's not strong as we are. They say in spiritual, but they didn't have enough yet. They just can't be just go ahead and do it in the United States of America. I know. This is the
thing. I know, it's terrible.
Talking to Dean Hickman.
Oh, it wasn't that. Oh. Did you study the code in San Diego, in Camp Elliott, or Camp Pendleton?
Pendleton.
Mm-hmm. Was Philip Johnston there at that time?
I don't know. There's a lot of them over there.
Uh huh. But this was
our teacher was William McCabe.
William McCabe.
Uh-huh. He was our teacher.
He was your teacher. What mm-hmm. year? What year?
It's about 43
or 2?
45.
45.
One of the classes of the last years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Philip Johnson was a first teacher, so you wouldn't have him then. Mm-hmm. Mr. McCabe. Now, where did you serve? Where did you go?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Any place else?
No, that's where we went and the war was over.
Oh, the war was. So.
You were in the last class.
Yes, you were in the last class.
He was a young man.
Yes, you're younger than the others. That's right. Well, is there any. I was going to ask you about your experiences in combat and how you used the code, but you didn't have any chance to use it.
No, just in the Camp Pendleton.
Just in Camp Pendleton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You did you do a lot of experimenting with it?
Yeah.
With the mm-hmm. practice, you know.
Yeah.
He learned.
That's like this
one.
Words. We call this T for trees, eh?
Yes.
H for hawk or
yes.
anything. Then E, yeah. H, something like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Navajo, like that. The Navajo and like that. You're
yes.
using Navajo.
Yes, yeah. I know. I got the code.
But he had two A's, you gotta make it different, not the
yes.
same.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Ant mm-hmm. ant and mm-hmm. apple or something
apple,
like that.
Yeah,
yes.
Apple.
Uh-huh.
Ant or
uh-huh.
apple.
Mm-hmm. I saw the code mm-hmm. and where they had added after well they first started using it just with one word for A.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found that they needed to have more than one for several of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so
this is a true code talker, Wilson. Yes, that's right. He knows.
So we just mix it, not in one. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think they, I don't know, maybe they find out. I don't know how they find out. So they told us to mix it, not in one.
Yes.
So we don't use one Latin and something else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they have the two A's, they would know, you see.
If we call it two, if they have two A's, we use the same word, then they know.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
We mix it, then,
uh-huh. then they're confused, and they don't know what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, in your training, did you give orders in the code when you were practicing? What did you do after you learned all of the code? What did they have you do in your training at Camp Pendleton?
We had to go out in the field.
Mm-hmm. Had to go out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now how did you do it?
We had all our equipment. And then we talked to each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A little bit way over somewhere, and then we talked.
Mm-hmm.
So then we put them down. We had a little piece of pad, and then we had to write them down.
And you wrote it down in English?
Mm-hmm. And then this week when he talks, and when I talk, he's in English. But from here, we're using Navajo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That way
that's right. When you were training, you found the work pretty hard, didn't you?
Yeah, first, yeah. We got used to it, it was easy, but we read it fast, and then
mm-hmm.
we put it clear, then on our own.
Once you learned, though, then it wasn't difficult, was
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. It was easy when we after we learned it.
Oh.
But right now, I forgot all about it.
I would think so.
See, now I can't even think about this. It's working on letters,
now,
I mean.
I heard that. Someone said that it took about 8 weeks for you to learn the
mm-hmm.
code.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there about eight,
mm-hmm.
weeks?
About 8 weeks?
You had boot camp, and then about 8 weeks of
in the field.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What division were you in?
I think it was sixth division.
That was
mm-hmm.
the last one you see.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be right.
Because they started
right.
with one and kept
mm-hmm.
making new divisions until
yeah.
they got six.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what else can we ask him now? I was going to ask him about combat. But
we can't ask him whether he was scared or not.
No. No, I don't. Let's see.
The first one, they went over. They used
it a lot. Yes.
Did you, in your training, did you do anything like, did they ever give you a message from the plane and then you would pick it up? On the ground?
No,
it was just on the field.
On the ship, too.
On the
ship,
yes. Ship to
mm-hmm.
shore.
Mm-hmm.
Ship to shore. And then.
Pelleton. Mm-hmm. Yes. We were right,
you
huh?
Said teacher, you said that's the time he was.
Do you remember how many Navajos were in that tattoo?
36, I think.
36.
That's the biggest platoon we had.
Oh, yes.
We used to be at tug of war with this white man.
Oh, yeah.
You always won, didn't you?
Nobody.
Nobody won.
Different platoon.
Uh-huh.
Well, we were one platoon. I had about 36. Mm-hmm. So we tug of war with him.
He said he didn't speak good English, but he does. You're giving, as if you're giving a message. Would you do that? In Navajo.
Your family would like that.
Then you can tell him what to say if he can.
If what is coming?
Well, the tanks or the enemy or just anything that
just as if he were in
as
his
though
maneuvers.
As though he were.
In English?
No.
I didn't know he's not touching you. I didn't see corner are it.
It's wonderful. What did you say?
Turn for me.
That's beautiful.
Right.
That's beautiful. Exactly right.
This group that originally went through boot camp was right before I did. See, they were selected to be code talkers. And me not knowing this bunch had been selected, I joined the Marine Corps, volunteered into the Marine Corps from the as soon as I finished school.
What year was that?
That was 1942.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined the Marine Corps, not knowing that there is a bunch of Navajos going through training,
mm-hmm.
or will be going through training for that such code for code talking anyway. And of course, it must have been about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks behind these boys that were going through boot camp. And I noticed that there's a but a company of Indians there, but I know a few of them, but they were Navajo, I know. And I was the only one that was Navajo in my platoon, which went through, I'd say about 3 to 4 weeks behind these guys.
Which division was this?
It was in the 1st Division. They were foremen, 1st Division.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2nd Division was also in the making at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, the First Division was being formed anyway. So after they found out that I was a Navajo, after I got out of boot camp, we were in Camp Elliott. I was transferred up to Camp Elliott.
That's where they were.
And they were there. I caught up with them. And right off, they put me in communication with the communication. I studied up some code signaling and stuff like that, and have given a few knowledge of how to operate radio and stuff like that. And as things went along, I finally ended up with these guys to attend class.
Who was the teacher of the class? Do you remember?
I sure
was that Philip Johnson.
I don't believe it was Johnson, but
now the reason we're asking is that we've talked to two men who were in that class, and they cannot remember the teacher's name.
Well,
and I thought it might help me out if you could remember.
All these boys, I remember, they were all in there. Every one of them were in that. Well, exactly what they were going drilling us through is that they're using the Morse code.
Yes.
And we took it about 3 weeks. And after 3 weeks, They gave us a little test, and everybody was doing all right. And what they did next is that they trying to make it adapt ourselves to other things, like going through machine gun schools and how to handle different kind of weapons and stuff like that. So that all took place at the same time that we have this code talk. So during a session of code talkers, I know they were have a Navajo name for ABC all the way down to Z. Of course, the English version is English version is April Baker Charlie, but in the Navajo, which is an A for an ant, a B for a bear, and a C for
cat, wasn't it? I mean, I've seen the code and I remember.
B for a dog and
yes.
E for I can't remember what they
was
were.
It
what
they I remember. I have a copy anyway mm-hmm. of the code.
So, but all in all, a Navajo language itself, because we don't have a word for a lot of stuff like convoys and the battleships and the fighter plane and bomber plane, bombers. And we don't have a word for different types of ships and different
cruiser.
Types of planes, right? So we have to make a code name for each one of these items as was given to us, and then we did made a list of name. Then we select what name we'll use for such and such a thing.
Were you in the group then that decided on what word to use for these? Now, I know that there was a group that just sat around the table and they said,
the first
what?
Group.
And what word would we use for us?
Well,
or did you come just after?
I come right after that. These
yes.
words were already selected.
I see. All right.
And all I did is trying to pick up what's been selected. And they sent us out in the field and sent us, give us a message to send to the other fellows, and then at the same time, some of these Navajos that weren't in the code talk, they tried to decipher it from the outside.
I see.
But any word that's a long word that we don't have a name for, we have to spell it out in a code. Mm-hmm. And so, all in all, our own language was coded again.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas another Navajo listening in will get the message just the way it comes through the air. But it won't make sense by the time.
Because he doesn't know
out.
The code.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, that's a good point that I hadn't thought of.
I was with the 1st Division, and they started pulling out. We made a landing over at Guadalcanal and Kwajalein's. And as we were pulling out, they transferred me to 2nd Marine Division, right there at the last minute. So
you didn't go to Guadalcanal then?
Later on.
I see.
So my group left, and I was transferred to the 2nd Marine Division, and also in the communication, there was some boys there. I think there were 2, 3, or 4 boys in there, but they were all with different companies, you know, headquarters company and B company, K company, and M company, and stuff like that. There's
mm-hmm.
at least one or two in that were to be used on that. But I was still taking that code when it all took place that the first ship moved out, and I was transferred to second. We stayed there for from 3 weeks to 5 weeks, I believe.
Now, was this at Camp Pendleton?
Camp Elliott.
Elliott.
It was before the Navy took over.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we were asked that we were pulling out. We didn't know where we were going, but I know we know where we were going. So we all boarded started off as a big convoy, but pretty soon it dwindled to only us out of nowhere.
There's one ship.
Which we found out we were somewhere around Samoa, somewhere, heading straight for New Zealand.
Oh.
So our company, Sixth Marine Regiment, landed in New Zealand. They're the only regiment that went around that way.
I see.
And there was some First Division there at what they call Camp McCabe or Camp Paikakariki. So we stayed there. We had to have some more training, and then they
was this in communications?
All this time we've been well. My duty it ended up to be that I repair all the radios.
I see.
At the same time, if there haven't been any message coming in that, I'll try and get it to get it to decipher. But later on, the folks that came later, they might have changed the code or made a different wording, because I was checking out some real radios, about 7 or 9 radios. When I dialed in on Sanab, who was talking, sending a message, which was, understand this was up in Auckland, New Zealand. We were down at the Wellington, New Zealand. So.
But you caught it.
I caught it, and then I changed my frequencies to my transmitting frequencies. Got them all the same. I got them. So I try to break in, giving a bum message. They won't take it. I tried in every way possible, giving any other message that I could think of to get them off the line. They won't go for that.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I must have been on that for about 45 minutes using a different set. I got them all in the same frequency and changed them back to what frequency we're using. But all during this time, I tried to break in. I don't know who they were or what company they were. They won't tell me.
Even though you spoke Navajo and
they were spoken Navajo.
But they just weren't about to buy it.
They were about to buy it, no? I try to break it in any way possible to get them off somewhere. Because I don't know their commanding officer or who they were talking with. That's what found me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I might have done it, but I tried.
But it did show that they were well-trained and disciplined.
They were well-trained.
And disciplined not to let anything break in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I wrote it down because some of the codes have been changed somewhere during the process. After later behind us, I guess.
You know, in talking to Mr. Bonelli last night, he said that they did do some changing in order to, that if the Japanese had gotten onto any of the code at all, that they would be confused because they did change it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the words.
I imagine they did because I didn't know about it. I didn't know anything about this change. So during that course of I was talking to them, I tried to get them on the wrong road or giving them a bum message,
mm-hmm.
which I did. I tried several times. I couldn't go anywhere with it. So I changed back to my frequencies and checked out the radios. And of course, then we move on to Guadalcanal later on. Of course, we were in New Hebrides, New Caledonia, and then on to Guadalcanal.
Mm-hmm.
We leave at New Guadalcanal, and we stayed there until the island was pretty well secured before we ever moved back to New Zealand again. We had some more training and some more replacements after that.
Was that training for communications?
Combat
training?
Combat.
You were still in engineering, the radio communications division. Stayed with them.
My main duty was that I get those radios in shape and make sure they're working.
Yes.
If something goes wrong with it up in the line, I take a new one up there and bring the old one back and try and repair it. That was my duty.
What one man who was down in the South Pacific, I think a reporter, I don't know if it was Ernie Pye or somebody, said that he felt that if it hadn't been for the Code Talkers, that the end result down there would have been quite different. Would you go along with that? Do you think
I'll go along with that. I'll go along with that 100% because I myself tried to break some of the code later on that I couldn't do, even though I'm an ally. And the message, the reason why I said there must have been some changes is that I wrote down the message that they were sending to each other, and I can't make heads or tails with it after I got it all written down.
Now, Mr. Bonelli said this last night, too, along this line, that if there were a couple who knew each other, well, and they were to, one was one place and one another, you know, that sometimes they would have pet words which would mean so-and-so of their own, their own intimate,
right.
Just that nobody knew but just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
When they knew, they were just sending messages to each other. If they were sending to other Navajos, then they used the code that they had learned back at Camp Pendleton, you see.
Well, at that time, it was no Camp Pendleton, it was Camp Elliott.
Or Camp, well, then Camp Pendleton came next, you know. That.
I believe Camp Pendleton was just now being built, a site was being picked for further training.
Yes, well, you see, I have the history of all of this, and the Code Talkers started at Camp Elliott, and then they moved over to Camp Pendleton.
This all took place while I was
while you were
overseas. Overseas.
Yes, while you were overseas.
I spent 3 years out there, and till about going starting on the fourth, that's when I came back.
The men stayed a long while, it seems to me.
Yes,
so much.
And then after we left New Zealand again, we went to Tarawa.
That's
and
right.
That 72-hour deal there.
That was a terrible thing.
It is. And we didn't even use Code Talk. There was no time for that.
No time. That's what Wilson said.
It
was a bloody one, wasn't it?
Everything was just an uproar.
Did you know Dean Wilson there? What was his name?
Yazzie
was
the name. Judge Wilson.
Well, I got to know him in boot camp. Not in boot camp, but Camp Elliott.
Yeah, well, he said that that was about the only place where he really met combat that was bad,
Tarawa. Well, it is. One good thing about that, I always say the reason why I'm here is that I was with the commanding officer in the same boat that I went in with. And we pulled back out and tried another place and we pulled in from there.
I see.
If it wasn't for him, we would have just gone in.
Well, he said that, wasn't he? I talked to several. I think he's the one who said that. That they stumbled ashore and the Japanese were right there and some people began to dig in right away.
And his lieutenant pushed him on too fast.
Pushed him on too fast. There
well,
wasn't
I was at the sixth wave, so I know just what happened. The first wave.